Well, hi, it's Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Hourglass Bride. We have such a special guest today as we talk about relationships, and we talk about really how to have that life of the happily ever after, the life that we all dream of and that we wish for and that we hope for and we all know that we deserve. And this show, when we created this show, what we really wanted to do is to bring you the very best tools and techniques and keys and secrets to the unfoldment and really having that happy life. And today's guest really is an expert in how to be happy. Today we are talking about with Katia Kodikan. Sorry, I love how to pronounce everybody's names. I'm always so good at this. Kotelenko, and I hope that I'm saying that correctly, and I will ask her if I do. And Katia is just amazing. She is such a beautiful, radiant light, and she is so wise, and she is so knowledgeable in the happiness field and the expertise of joy and beauty and grace and how to have that inner happiness. And so I really want to talk to her about how do we create that, relationships with ourselves, relationships with others. And she is the founder and the owner of Be Happy Therapy. And that is a practice dedicated to helping people co-create lives that they really want and they really deserve. And she has provided counseling and psychotherapy services to individuals, to couples, to families, and to groups of diverse backgrounds for over 10 years. And she is a strong believer in the holistic approach, which I really love because we talk a lot about the holistic approach in healing. And her work really has so many facets to it. Compared to the traditional therapy, she incorporates different body-oriented techniques. She includes innovative somatic approaches, and she even includes, and we're going to talk about this, my very favorite, which is tango therapy. And she is currently focusing on helping women of all ages uncover their true selves, how to learn to honor themselves, how they put themselves first so they can really create the lives, not according to the standards or the demands of society or to their friends or to their families, but really based on their inner voice and their inner desires. And I can't think of a better subject for today's show. So I am joyous. I am elated. I am excited to talk to today's guest, Katia Kodolenko. Katia, welcome to the show. It's such a joy having you here with us.
Thank you, Nicole. Well, I think we can finish the show now. I mean, you've said so many beautiful words about me, and I'm like, hey, I think we are done.
No, I truly, you're amazing. So first, tell me, did I pronounce your name wrong? Is that correct? How do you say it?
My last name is Kotelenko.
Okay. It's such a gorgeous name.
Thank you. It's a little bit challenging, but
no, it's so gorgeous. It's really radiant. It's, well, isn't life a little challenging? The beautiful things in life, whether they're relationships or the birth of a child or the struggle of a butterfly, they're all a little challenging, but they turn out beautifully. So.
Well, thank you very much, Nicole, for having me on your show. So it's a great pleasure.
This is my joy. So this is such a perfect subject for this show because we really talk about relationships and the happily ever after and how do we attain the happily ever after. So I guess the first thing I'm going to ask you is about when your childhood, because I love taking people back to when they were 6 or 7 or 8. And I know that I talked to so many guests, and like for myself, I wanted to be Miss America. I wanted to be in the Olympics. I wanted to be a movie star. And we had Brian Cummings, who's a Los Angeles fire chief, on. And I asked him, I said, did you always want to be a fireman? And he said, no, not at all. I wanted to be an astronaut. The only reason I even wanted to go to the fire station is because I wanted to ride the truck with the bell. And so when you look back to your childhood, one, were you always helping people? And two, was dance a passion of yours in your life?
Well, you know, when I look back, what I'm remembering is just enjoying being with people and being curious about who people are. And one of the things that I actually remember my mom telling me that when it was time for me to decide what to study, and, you know, and I was inclined to go into psychology, and I wasn't sure why I was inclined. But my mom told me, she said, it's understandable. You've always been very understanding of other people, and she said, I was so impressed with you that every time we would, you know, talk about somebody, and when we were about to meet this person, I would tell you, you know, Katya, please don't say such and such thing to this person, and you would look at me with your wise eyes, as she says, and would say, Mom, that's understandable. Why are you telling me this? That, you know, that's common sense not to say this and this and that. So it seems like I have this understanding of people, or I would say probably intuition, you know, intuition to know what to say, what not to say, and how to make people feel like they're embraced. And I guess this is kind of leads into dance. I remember, and here's how important it is when we work with children, it's a great example of how not to really cut them off when they're interested in something. I remember I wanted to dance, and my mom took me to the school. And the teacher was really strict, and she was, you know, looking at who she can take in and who she can't. She looked at me, and like we needed to do some exercises, and she said, how she bends or whatever, I can't remember exactly, is not really, you know, all the way, so I can't really take her. And my mom was kind of like, you know, but we're not training professionals here. You know, she was trying to convince her, and the teacher agreed. But I remember feeling not welcome there, so I never went back. And I went a different route. I studied, you know, how to play piano and how to sing, which was also great. So continued to develop my artistic abilities. But I actually remember a few years ago after that, a friend of mine actually went to that school, and she started to study dance, and was ballroom, and she was on stage performing with, you know, we were about teenagers, and I was looking at her, and I still remember as I'm telling the story now, looking at her and thinking, I should be there. So this passion for dance has always been there, but it has taken me time to go back to, you know, to my inner desire of dance. And actually, here's a funny story. I think when I was four or five, I came up to my mom and I said, Mom, you know what? I really don't know who I'm going to be. She's like, how come? She said, well, I'm like, Mom, you know, I'm so talented. I can dance, I can draw, and I can recite poems. I really don't know who I can be. So
I love it, Mom. I'm so talented.
So talented. I you know, the kids are so amazing. So this passion for dance has always been there, and I'm very fortunate to really find a way to go back to, you know, to who I am. And finally, I went back into dancing and explored social dancing, social tango, and very happy that I'm doing so because it's changing my life.
That's great. And we're going to talk, you know, so much more about that. I love your journey. And then how did you end up here? And I'm getting a little tiny bit of a popping sound from you, so I don't know, you know, if you're outside being electrocuted.
I'm aware of.
You can see. Okay. But, you know, you have a very successful practice, and you know that the name of your practice, Be Happy Therapy, is one of my favorite names of business ever. I absolutely love it. But you are not from here, right? I mean, you're from another country. So what is that like to journey to a land unknown and then start and achieve a successful practice and be able to help people at the level in which you do?
I'm originally from Russia, and I've been here for almost 20 years. Next year will be 20 years. And it's a journey of perseverance, I would say. You know, really a journey of discovery of yourself, for sure. You know, things that you can, and mostly things that you can accomplish. Pretty amazing, you know, because here I came here as a student to study psychology and, you know, to pursue my dreams. And from, even though my parents were supporting me at some point financially, but at some point it was, you know, was all on me. So it was, yeah, learning how to, learning about different culture, learning to adjust and acculturate into different culture. And in a way, I feel at this point, I feel very fortunate because I can say that I'm not only bilingual, you know, Russian and English, but I'm also bicultural because I have a very good sense of Russian culture and also very good sense of American culture. So, and what I'm also finding is that this journey of getting to know this, you know, the society that I'm living in, new society, and, you know, understanding the different roles and obligations, and I can apply that knowledge into working with my clients. When people come in and they feel that they need to do this and this and that because this is what their particular culture tells them, you know, I can understand that, you know, what the social obligations are and how we need to navigate that. So it's a very valuable, even, you know, even though it was a challenging experience, but it was a very valuable experience of being, of acculturating in this country. And I feel that when we truly know what we, not what we need to do, but when we follow our heart, we, it kind of becomes no-brainer or no choice. You just, you know, for me it was, I always knew that I wanted to have my own, and I, you know, at some point, you know, I was working for other people, and I was, but I knew it was only a matter of time when I started my practice. And even though it is challenging, but it's, yeah, for me it's like, if I want to be happy, I have to do this. And I have to overcome whatever challenges come my way, and I know if you notice, but you know, I'm not calling things problems. You know, I don't like to, or issues. Challenges is the best word for me because through that, it, you know, challenges is kind of like, I think the definition of challenge is something that's difficult, but at the same time very interesting. So to me, it's like you really grow through that. So and. For me, that's the most important thing is, like, you know, my growth as well, and being able to help other people to do the same.
That's I love that. That's what you're doing, and so you're a psychotherapist, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so people come to you not with problems but with challenges. And at what stage does someone come to you? Like people on the show that are thinking about getting married. Do they come before they step into this life with somebody? Do they come when their life is not working? Do they come when they're stuck? Do they come when the relationship, their partnership isn't working? At what point does somebody call you and say, Kedia, SOS, I need your help?
Well, usually people come when there are problems, and the problems, you know, have been developing for some time. And I wish that people do, like, rather than intervention, I talk about prevention. So it's, so it is definitely best to, address things before they become, they reach their extreme. And people are fighting, people are, you know, getting ready to get a divorce or anything, you know, of that extreme where both partners are so hurt and are so there is a point where it is so hard for them to see the other person's side. So in my practice, what I see is that usually people come to me when it's already situation is pretty bad, I guess I would say. So, and my recommendation will be to, you know, sometimes maybe even if there is no, like, big issues or big challenges, to seek support, to even if there is a small misunderstanding, where maybe one of the partners is feeling that, oh, I don't know if I'm being understood, or if there's a conflict, oh, I know I've been working at this job, but I really want to pursue completely different track, and that can be very disturbing to the other partner. And how do we resolve that so that everybody feel in peace with their lives? So that's the challenge of being in a relationship where we want to be happy, you know, individually, but we also want to be happy as a couple. So, you know, finding that compromise and finding that sweet spot where both partners feel like I'm being respected, my needs are being met and being respected.
That's terrific. And so how do you combine tango? I mean, I love the idea of tango, and I love, you know, I remember I used to work for Arthur Murray many years ago, and we would talk about that there's only 4 steps in dance. Walking steps, rocking steps, marching steps, and turns. But I remember the tango so vividly, because I remember the tango beyond the steps, beyond the movement, was also an attitude, was also an energy that was separate and different than any other dance. And so one, why tango, and then how tango? How do you do it? How do you...
Well, I think for why tango. So I started really, you know, I delved into tango much deeper because I had several attempts at tango in my life, but then life was getting in the way. But I guess there is perfect timing for everything. And about 3 years ago, I really delved into it. And what was interesting is that I was observing myself, what was the moments, what they were triggering inside of me, and also, you know, dancing with another person, what it was triggering, and also seeing how the relationship in tango is, it's very much about, or I would say that the dance itself is very much about life, how it relates to life, how much it brings out, how much it was bringing out in me and other people. And you know, why we'd say, why not salsa? You know, and I used to do salsa. Tango has, it's, you know, to me, it's two energies coming together and creating something that was not created before and will never be created again. And it's a conversation of two bodies, two energies. And there is a high sense of attunement, you know, to each other that happens. And in order for that to happen, each person has to be present. Each person has to have a clear sense of who they are. They need to be connected to themselves. I always say that tango is a dance of where it's a connection to yourself, connection to the other person, and connection to the world. So and we can talk about connection for many, many hours. So on its own and what it represents. And so that's when I started to think about how also how tango is very much organically can be joined with therapy. Therapy to me is about helping other people to really to get connected with themselves and to find their own ways of going about life, not what, you know, their parents told them or telling them to do, not what the society tempted to do, but really following their own heart, because that's to me what leads to happiness, to true happiness. So my role I see as a facilitator, or in another way I can say an unconditionally loving mother, where I'm embracing the other person with my energy, with my being, and helping them to unravel their and reveal themselves, and with the curiosity to really explore what they're about. So it's you know, when people come in, they want safe environment, they want containment, they want to make sure that they don't get overwhelmed with the painful feelings that they experience. So there is, it's very similar to the embrace that provides the containment. But at the same time, Tango allows you to express yourself whatever you feel inside. And the same as therapy, you know, there is a safe and contained environment, and people are able to express themselves to the degree that they feel comfortable. So that's, you know, so I saw how those two connected and how they can be organically joined. And I cannot say that I was the one who invented it. There was a gentleman in Argentina who started the Tango therapy movement about 7 years or seven years ago. And I'm sure there's other practitioners who incorporate Tango in their work. As far as I know, I haven't met anybody in LA, but I'm sure there's a lot of studies that are happening. There is like people who is in academia. I've met a few people who are studying Tango because they're dancing Tango themselves, and they're intrigued with the whole process of Tango. But I see a lot of great potential especially for couples, because, you know, when couples come in, it's very interesting to observe the interactions, how they're going about, you know, utilizing their bodies, because bodies are really a way to tap into our unconscious. You know, the way we carry themselves, the way we express ourselves, it's really tells a lot about who we are. So anyway,
okay, so I have a question. Because all of this is wonderful information. I think it's fascinating. Or absolutely know it's fascinating. So you have a couple and they're in trouble, and
mm-hmm.
they're looking for a therapist, and
mm-hmm.
they come across you, Be Happy Therapy, which is wonderful if you're unhappy and you want to be happy. It sounds like that's the place to go. And
mm-hmm.
but then you see that it involves dance or movement, and the guy says, I'm a terrible dancer. I can't dance. You need to be able to dance to come see you to get help.
Absolutely not. Yes. this is not a Tango lesson. This is about therapy. So it's the same way there's art therapy where people draw. So it's, you know, and there are some wonderful artists out there, but most of us, we're very basic in how we can draw. So Tango is the same way where we applying the structure of the dance, but it's really not about how well we execute it. I'm actually much more interested in, you know, I'll give a little bit of instruction in terms of how they should, you know, connect to each other through their hands. But then the rest, it's really just observe it so that they can observe themselves. I'm observing them, and we can talk about what comes up as they interact with their bodies. So it's dance experience is complete of irrelevance here, to give you a short answer.
Perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to know. And then also I remember reading on your website, it says the same area of the brain that generates reason and helps us solve problems are also involved in movement. Thus, movement mm-hmm. has shaped and continue to shape our minds. Is that true?
That's what I read as well.
Yes,
it is. Yeah, I was fascinated when I when I read that as well. So, and I was, yes, and actually, you know, I'm studying more about the brain. I'm kind of refreshing a lot of things in my own brain about the brain. So, but yes, yeah.
Because I think that's amazing. I mean, I just even thinking about movement or thinking
mm-hmm.
about reaching one another. I know that you mirror with people and all of these things, a reflection of who we are. And it's just such an incredible journey because we are physical bodies. We
Absolutely.
Are physical beings.
Oh.
It would be great if, you know, people were having problems in their relationship and they could just send their emotions to you, but they didn't have to show up. They could, like, stay home and do laundry or something. But unfortunately,
yeah.
we have to go too. Our bodies are connected to us. They must also show up for therapy. So...
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about, you know, when we're born, all of our interactions are through, there's nothing verbal happening, you know, at least on the side of, you know, on the part of a baby. They cannot say yes, no. All of their exploration is physical, and the interaction with the mother, I mean, it's all nonverbal. And it's through the movement, and either the movement of the energy, you know, the gaze, the loving gaze, or it's the hug, or it's the, gosh, this is where I cannot remember words either in Russian or English, but right now it would be helpful to remember a word in English. But, you know, where, you know, the mother is, you know, singing a song and just, you know,
yes.
You know, so
a lullaby
there's,
or something, yes.
So in moving the baby and just kind of like, you know,
rocking,
that's the word, that's right. And actually there is a movement in Tango Rock Step, I should be remembering rocking, yeah. So it's, so yeah, there is all of that shapes who the baby is in the future, you know, their personality and who they're going to be as a person.
I love that. That's incredible. And then I also was looking at your list of benefits in
mm-hmm.
the therapy. And some of them I was so surprised by because you have things listed here like improved sleep or overcoming fear or improved decision making. So can we go through down some of these benefits? Because I know people that are listening to the show, they might hear one of these benefits and say, oh, my gosh, that's
mm-hmm.
what I need right now. So the first one I have listed here, it says a calmer mental state and a stronger sense of contentment. And that's sort of like what you're talking about with the mother rocking the baby. I can't imagine being more contented than
mm-hmm.
being at peace, than being
mm-hmm.
embraced in love.
Mm-hmm.
And so so if somebody's anxious and they're scared and they're depressed, then in working with you and even physically being able to work out their challenges, as you share, is a sense
mm-hmm.
of safety and peace?
So the, I'm actually pulling up my side so that I can see the, so I feel like at the core of therapy, at the core of Tango therapy is people are learning how to use their bodies as a resource. As a resource to calm themselves down, as a resource to, they're starting to learn that they're not just, they don't only live in their heads, you know, because we're a very cognitive-oriented society. I mean, even as we grow up, we hear, like, use your logic, use your reasoning, you know, think about it before you say something, right? So nobody tells us, like, listen to your body and then say something. So part of what we're doing here is that we're really delving into, like, how is my body feeling? What am I feeling as I'm talking about this? What am I feeling as I'm remembering this experience? And what am I feeling as I'm taking a sidestep, as I'm moving? What is, you know, so really, really studying the physical sensations that we're experiencing. And the physical sensations then what they're triggering, you know, what thoughts are triggered. And so, or also how I'm expressing myself. I'm thinking of this particular issue that I'm going in my life, going through in my life, and how, you know, and I'm expressing this, and I'm like, oh, what does this mean? Like, oh, like how that I'm expressing myself this way. So, all of this brings us more closer and closer to how we truly feel, and then based on that, then we can make decisions about certain things in our lives, you know, like how we need to set a boundary or how we need to handle certain situations, because we have a more clear sense of, you have a more clear sense of how you feel, and then based on and what you think at the same time, and then based on that you can make decisions that are comfortable to you, rather than what, you know, what you were thinking based on, like, I don't know, what you heard about, what you should have been doing. I don't know if I'm being clear.
Yes, no, that's perfect. Absolutely. Go ahead.
So in terms of, like, anxiety, if somebody is an anxious person, I'm, you know, anxious person myself. I'm working, you know, working through my anxieties and, you know, had certain experiences in life that, you know, I'm very in touch with the happy side of me, but at the same time, you know, I'm not perfect yet. No, just kidding. You know, we'll never be perfect. It's, you know, work in progress. So, so being an anxious person, you are, it's so, very often, it's so hard to hear your own voice. It's so hard to be okay with yourself. It's so hard to really be in touch with what you want to do now, you know, because you're so, like, there's different triggers on the outside or in the environment that are triggering these anxious feelings, and you're just overwhelmed, you know, like I, not that long ago, I had an experience where I felt like I'm being a balloon, and I'm just like, I'm about to take off, you know, that my whole body was just like, okay, bye everybody, don't miss me much, you know, so I have to really ground myself and come back and, like, focus on the present moment. So with the Tango therapy, it allows you to learn how to, as we say in therapy, resource yourself, how to be, come back in the present. And especially when you are in connection with another person, that allows you to be more present. You know, the sensation of touch allows you to be more, you can squeeze your fingers a little more, and that will make you more present in the moment. So overcoming the overwhelm, that's a very typical aspect of our lives. You know, we're so busy, we're bombarded with information, we're bombarded with so many things that we need to do. And it seems like, you know, it will never end. So with overwhelmed, I very often see that people, it's very hard for people to set boundaries, especially for women, because we're so wonderful at taking care of other people, you know, and making sure that everybody else is happy. So, yes. You know, boundary and really taking care of ourselves, self-care is not the strongest skill. So, and again, learning about yourself, learning about your needs, what do I need at this moment, allows you to look at things different ways, through different eyes, and then you can make a decision like, you know what, maybe I will ask my husband to take children to the game. And, you know, and it brings a certain sense of discomfort. It will cause some, you know, there will be a shift in the relationship. The husband might resist that. And, you know, so you have to continue to be listening to yourself and saying that this is what I need right now. What I need is I need a bath, because if I don't, I'm just overwhelmed and I'm going to lose my mind. So So having, you know, being very rooted, strongly rooted in who you are and what you need at that moment is essential, I feel like, to overcoming the overwhelm and negotiating with people delegating abilities to other people.
This is great.
Kind of covers a lot of things that are terms of the benefits. Yeah,
absolutely. And then I've got a question also. It also talks about self-esteem and self-awareness. And this is really big for a lot of the people that are listening to our show, because certainly we've had people that have been raped or abused and now they're looking for love, or people that have been married 3 or 4 or 5 times and they're hoping that this one will stick, or even people who have had spouses or even their parents or people, you know, around them say you're ugly, you're fat, you're unworthy, you're stupid, or that have been physically or emotionally abused. And so how does someone start the journey back to self-esteem? Are you still with me? I lost her. See, that was just such a remarkable question. But when you think about that and you think about all of the different ways in which we are beaten up or abused. I remember they used to have those weebles, and those things would go boink, 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 and they would say, I'm a weeble, I wobble, but I don't fall down. I think she's back on the line with us.
Yes,
hi, Katia.
Yes.
So did you hear my question? I wasn't sure if you had a chance to hear my question, but I was talking about the self-esteem and that, you know, and how do we start our way back if somebody's been physically or emotionally abused or knocked down by life or people around them? How do we start back on the journey to self-esteem?
The word that comes to my mind is gently. Gently rebuilding yourself. Gently rediscovering yourself, because very often is people who have gone through this horrible experiences are also very hard on themselves. So that's why I'm saying gently, where you take acknowledgement of every little step that you make forward. And if you feel like you're going back, you understand that maybe it's not going back, but right now you need to take time for yourself. Right now you cannot challenge yourself to go forward. Right now you need to nourish yourself. You need to hold yourself. And that's, you know, in therapy with my clients, and that's what I work with, where they acknowledge all the wonderful things that they're already doing, so that they, because, you know, people in general might feel like very wonderful at beating ourselves up and not very good about acknowledging how wonderful they are and how many things they're already doing that are absolutely amazing. And that they don't have to be extraordinary things, but little steps where you smiled at somebody in a line, you know, at a grocery store. That's already an amazing step. where you communicated kindness to the other person. So it doesn't have to be grandiose things. Or that you help somebody else, so that it brightened their day. You know, you called a friend and you listened to the friend talking about his or her struggles. Or you just watched a movie with a friend who was struggling. So these are, to me, all amazing steps that people are doing, and very often they're not acknowledging that, that you're helping yourself and you're helping another person. So So that's, I guess going back to, really, really gently to where, you're building your self-esteem after such challenging, things that happen in life. And study what is it at the root of why, if somebody was abused, then we need to look at the trauma that was caused, the trauma that is still in you, in your body. If it were relationships, it's like one relationship after another. Okay, let's see what it is that is driving that. How come, even though out of your desire to have a happy relationship, you're not able to achieve that? There's something deeper than just the surface stuff. Or if there's an addiction, what is it, again, at the root of that? It's not that you are don't have a strong will. It's much more. There's hurt, or somebody who is having an eating addiction, who is overweight. They're overweight for a reason. Maybe they're using food to feel comfortable, to feel good. Okay, let's see what it is that is driving that. So it has to be, I have to emphasize, a gentle process where you don't, beat yourself up. And I feel like that's why therapy is amazing, where you can come in and I can hold your pain for you. You can share your pain, and I can hold, we can do it together. I feel like people don't have to suffer on their own. That's why we have this wonderful field of therapy.
That's so beautiful, Katia. Oh, my gosh, I've never heard anybody say, I could hold your pain for you. That just brings tears to my eyes just thinking about that. I mean, how many times do you have a heavy bag that you say to somebody, here, hold this, or whatever, and we think nothing of handing over something that we can't manage or something that's gotten too heavy for us. But when it's inside of us, we never think to hand it over.
Yeah, and and also very often people feel shame and it's like, oh, I'm so stupid to feel this way or to have this. And to me, there is nothing stupid. It's all valid. It's whatever we feel is it's valuable. It's valuable. So all of our pains and feelings are, nobody needs to feel like they're to feel shame and feel guilt or it's very common, common feelings. I'm not saying that people shouldn't feel them. We're all human beings, and it's all, the rainbow of feelings is pretty many, many, many colors. So, but at the same time, I guess what I'm trying to say is that we can work through that together, you don't have to suffer on your own.
It's so funny when you just said that. This morning I went to the farmer's market, and they had a bakery at the farmer's market, and at the bakery they had rainbow bread. And the bread was actually all the colors of the rainbow. So each slice had all of the colors of the rainbow in it. It was like swirly colors in the bread. And I said to the guy, does it taste different? And he said, no, it tastes like regular bread. It's just pretty colors.
Oh, wow.
But automatically we think because it's got, all these different colors in it, but yet we are who we are. And we do carry all those colors in us, and it was...
That's great. Wow, rainbow bread.
I'm going to bring you some. I'll absolutely bring you a loaf of rainbow bread next time I see you. And then your work is so beautiful. I mean, and I know you as a person. I know how gifted and talented, and I know how generous you are of your time and your talent and your skill. And so for those that are listening, how does somebody find you and work with you?
probably the easiest way is on my website, thehappytherapy.com. I on purpose actually did not make my website with my first name and last name. Did not want people to suffer through and finding me and make it difficult. So Be Happy Therapy. Or they can give me a call. I usually, before I take on a client, I do talk to him or her for a little bit of time just to kind of get a sense whether we're a good fit. Sometimes even actually speaking of good fit, when people come in, you know, after your first session, you know, we can still make a decision that we might not work well together. So I actually encourage people to experience different therapists before they make a decision. I mean, unless if you find somebody who you're like, oh, yes, you know, this is the person that I want to work with, absolutely. But if there is some hesitation, go look for another therapist. You know, try them out. I myself, when I was looking for a therapist, I tried two therapists, and then I made a decision. You know, it was very clear to me who I wanted to work with. I have my office in West LA, very conveniently located. There's the 405 freeway and the 10 freeway are nearby, so plenty of parking. I really love my office. It has a character. So, and it's on top of a bakery, so smell of vanilla sometimes you know, makes it difficult.
I love my office. It's on top of a bakery. So sweet.
Yeah, so, and actually I know some of my clients either before or after go down and enjoy a cup of tea and some treat. So, which kind of warms my heart as well that they're taking the time for themselves. So
that's so beautiful. It's so fabulous. And then Be Happy Therapy. Okay, so we have to ask, how did you come up with Be Happy Therapy? Because I do think it's the greatest name. And I also want to ask you, what does happy mean to you?
So Be Happy Therapy. I guess the story is really about that deadlines do work when we set deadlines for ourselves. I knew that I needed to start, you know, coming up with a website and also my business, the business name, and I gave myself a deadline, and I was trying different things, and they were sounding okay, but nothing was really clicking for me. And 5 minutes right before when my friend and I were going to sit down and work on my website, it just dawned on me, Be Happy Therapy. And I was like, okay, I hope nobody took this domain name yet. I don't want to pay thousands of dollars for it because it's, you know, it's really reflects who I am. And it was really like, I think it just came from the inside without much of a logic. But then the more and more I think about it, happiness is something, especially recently I had an experience of visualization of being born, and I could really feel that I came to this world to bring happiness.
Mm-hmm.
It's so clear to me. It was, there's no doubt for me that this is my purpose in life, to bring people happiness. And again, I wanted a disclaimer, I'm not a perfect person. You know, I'm sure I've pissed some people off and will continue to do that. But but consciously, you know, I am making efforts to really bring people happiness, and not in a way that here's happiness, take it, but really help them to find it in themselves. Because I don't think happiness is something that can be given to you. It's something that you really feel in the depths of your life. From the inside out. So, and I'm really happy that I have such a name for my business, Be Happy Therapy. Really represents who I am and what my business is about. And happy for me is a state of life. And it has, again, a rainbow of feelings. And, you know, for somebody, happy can be being full of joy. For somebody, happy can be feeling contentment. For somebody, it can be tranquil. So it's much more broader, and anybody can make their own definition on what happy is for them. So, but that's why I feel like, you know, happy is really represents what my business is about. And for me, what happy is, for me, happy is following my heart, being true to myself and following my heart. And continue to discover who I am.
That's a fantastic definition. Wow, I would love to use that on our website if I can. I think that was just one of the best definitions ever of happiness. I mean, truly, that's, you know, when creating this show, Kadia, that was the journey, that was the deepest desire, was happily ever after. You know, especially as women, as girls, as children, the fairy tale of the princess and the prince, and they all lived happily ever after at the end of the story. Mm-hmm. And then we get married, and we're waiting. I know my friend, I have a very dear friend of mine who was married recently, and she, ever since she was a little girl, dreamed of the fairy tale wedding and the man whisking her off into the beautiful life. And they bought a house and that they were going to move into after they got married, and they went to Home Depot, and they were shopping in Home Depot, and he said to her, "What kind of mop would you like?" And she stopped. She said, "What?" And he said, "Well, what kind of mop?" You know, and
I
it just
the first nail
burst the bubble. What kind of mop would you like? Or a broom was never in the fairy tale of the happily ever after.
Yeah.
And so when we think about happily ever after, and then something happens in our life, whether it's a glitch, or like you say, a challenge, or something happens in our work or finances, or we lose a loved one or whatever that is, and all of a sudden we don't always have the tools to deal with that because we were told it was all going to be great.
Exactly.
Just meet the guy and it's all going to work.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's really, that's why I am very passionate about working with women, because also women as mothers, you know, we need to be aware of what we're sharing with our girls, with our daughters, so that this whole fairy tale is beautiful, and at the same time, what a disappointment. What a disappointment it is to be like, oh, I need to scrub the floor. I need to, like, there's all these daily things that are happening that are part of marriage that, you know, yes, we're witnessing that as we're growing up, but really, none of us really, as little girls or teenagers, we're not aware of that. You know, that's what mom does. You know, she cooks, she cleans, you know, yes, we need to do chores, but you really don't think about growing as on this fairy tale, you know, that this is how you're going to be. So I'm sure your friend was like, what? I mean, and it seems like outside, probably to her husband, was like, yeah, I'm asking about a mop, what, you know, but to her, it almost feels like a disillusionment, you know, like her vision of what the life is going to be is wow, you like not destroyed, but put into dirt, you know. So, um, So it's So it's important for us as you know, as women, as mothers, you know, to really teach our daughters about the reality of life. Not necessarily that we need to crush them with it, but just what the life is about and how I think what comes to my mind is about how to be a strong woman, how to be that. I'm not saying that we don't need men to be happy, but how can you be happy on your own? And because when I feel like when you come from that place, then the fairy tale kind of a little bit, you know, it doesn't have that strong grip on you. Because if you're waiting to be happily ever after, live happily ever after, and, you know, you need a guy to be happy, then your happiness is really outside of you. You are totally focusing on the other person is making you happy. So it is important that you know yourself, you know how to be happy with yourself so that you don't hold the other person responsible. And I'm not, you know, saying that we shouldn't be in the relationship, shouldn't be married and all of that. I'm just saying that, you know, that yes, the other person...
Be happy. You're saying be happy, which is what Be Happy Therapy is about. And I'm so grateful for you coming on today. And I love your work. I absolutely think it's brilliant. And the idea that happiness awaits us, because it awaits us all. And I love the idea that you've incorporated movement, because we are human bodies and we are human beings, and that we're all connected. And that this is how you share and teach and transcend and translate is just fabulous. So I appreciate you being with us. I appreciate the incredible work you do for so many people. And what better thing to do? I mean, I must love the IRS, must love you. What do you do? I make people happy. I'm a happiness doctor. I teach people how to be happy. I mean, it's like being Santa Claus, kind of. So
yeah.
It's kind of very cool. So, Katia, thank you for being with us, and I so look forward to having you on again. And for everybody that's out there that's coming across any challenge, reach out to Katia, because that's the answer. We all should have that happiness and that happily ever after we all desire.
Well, thank you so much, Nicole. It was a great pleasure.
Oh, it was a joy having you on. So thank you again. And what a beautiful show. I mean, she's just amazing, absolutely amazing. So for Katia, and I'm going to say this correctly, Kotelenko, which is Be Happy Therapy, and we all should have that happily ever after we dream of, desire, and deserve. And so stay tuned. We've got Tony Renata coming on next week, Mr. Romance. We're going to talk about cover models and the idea of the perfect man, what that looks like, and how we translate and transcend that into our own lives. And this is Nicole Brandon for Hourglass Bride, wishing all of your hopes and wishes and wants come true, and that every happily ever after is awaiting you. We'll see you next week.